Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the homemade broadcast episode 458, live stream or pre-record, if that's how you do it, on podcast or Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. Let me get our co-host, guest, whatever you want to call her, up and running here. Hey, Anna, what's up?
Hello. I apologize for the delay. It took me a little bit. To get across the bridge in the rain.
An uber late Anna Hummel. I would expect nothing less. This is your MO. What's that?
It's on brand.
It's on brand. Right. Well, good to see you. I'm glad you made it safely. Hurricane Nicole is bearing down on both of us right now. No red wave in the election last night, but definitely a hurricane headed our way, which is very excited. What did you think about the election that occurred last night?
It was one of those things where I was like, I felt like I should have been more interested than I actually was. I was happy as soon as I saw that, you know, my guys made it in Florida. I was like, whew. Now, obviously, it matters who's in the Senate, who's in the House, that sort of deal. But the sort of like constant back and forth of like who's in Wisconsin, who's in Northern, like that's really not my cup of tea. I watched about an hour of the Daily Wire of the guys and gal on Daily Wire going back and forth about it, so I could get a little bit more context than just straight numbers. But other than that, that was pretty much it. I saw you guys went live on HMV Radio.
Yeah, well, it's actually a pre-taped one, but yeah, I pretty much recorded it and then just released it. Johnny and I talked a lot about the election, how absurd it was and how absurd our culture is involving politics. You can get that right now, willsyoutube.com, willspodcast.com, audio only. And yeah, it was a good conversation. You know, I think I wasn't surprised about the results that occurred here in Florida. It appears that every Republican in the country moved to Florida. And then it was a red wave here in Florida with a lot of seats kind of flipping red for the Republicans. Mm-hmm. And everywhere else, pretty much a disappointment. There was I saw a few articles that NBC said that it was kind of a red illusion, that they didn't expect it to be as dramatic. Experts claimed that it wasn't going to be as dramatic of a shift as some of the folks thought. And I thought it was interesting too. Dave Smith from Legion of Skanks, Part of the Problem, he had a good tweet, just kind of throwing it out there that it's unusual that we were going to have the president came out, gave a speech about how we must accept the election results because we're pro-democracy in this country. And then it turned out that he didn't get his clock cleaned as expected. It wasn't as bad as they thought. So do with that information what you will. I don't claim anything about election 2022. I would never do that. I think that it's a crime and you should be killed if you dare question the election results. I will say though that a CIA, former CIA agent, are you ever a former CIA agent? I don't think so. But
you are, because you could talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. On MSNBC. I mean, yeah. A lot of them have jobs.
I mean, I understand there are some things you have to take with you to the grave, but the fact that you can even disclose that you're in the CIA, I think only comes, you know, after you've left, unless you're part of like the, you know, unless you're the director of the CIA or something like that. But if you're a CIA operative, I think those people need to, you know, keep their mouth closed until they leave for like 7 years or something.
Yeah. Well, they all seem to end up on MSNBC or now they're running for Congress. And there was a lady in Virginia who was expected to lose her seat, former CIA employee or operative. I don't know what the heck they call them, but she somehow managed to pull it out. So good for her. And, you know, everything's grand. Everything's grand. We're done. We don't have to talk about it for about a week until the big guy, Mr. Trump, former President Trump.
Well, sorry, I just have to pop my knee. I do think that it's not quite over yet. As we saw, I mean, I don't know if you have closely you've been watching it, but in Georgia, there's about to be a runoff. So it's just going to be nonstop until that is resolved. So I do have to say I was a little bit surprised about the Fetterman deal. I'm like, who would elect a man who's clearly not, you know, cognitively able to be in charge and understand and who just stroked out and blah, blah. And then I remember who the president was, and I said, oh, right, of course. I do have to say, and I mean, although Biden has been slipping, I would say he's much, much worse now than he was even when he was running. I don't know about you, but I feel like it is gaining steam. But I've seen a lot of the Fetterman. I don't know if you saw the Fetterman ads, and apparently they were made with an iPhone 3, and the debates. And anytime he's questioned about anything and it's just straight gibberish and I go, well, clearly they know they did. He'll be the senator.
Allegedly they did. Again, I don't know what happened, but he beat Dr. Oz.
I know.
For that Senate seat.
I thought it was so funny that the person he was running against was a medical physician. So it would have been so easy for him to say, like, I'm a doctor. This man is, you know, unfit. He's not well. He's cognitively impaired and he's never coming back from that stroke. You know, but I don't think he pulled that card.
He didn't.
He could have.
And he could have. And that may have been his downfall because he didn't do that. Now, I had heard through experts, I guess, or people in the know, if you will, that he didn't do that on purpose because he is a doctor and he didn't want to exploit somebody with a medical condition. A lot of outlets accused people who were saying that he is mentally unfit to be a senator of ableism. So that's where we're at. Apparently you can be Terry Schiavo and be a senator. And if you disagree with that, then you're an ableist.
You know, it's really funny that you mentioned that because that was kind of brought up on our show. By our doctor, our resident doctor on the show. And I made a joke about it being an act of representation, you know, people who are disabled need representation. And I said it as a joke, but I think that there are people who truly believe, and not disabled in the sense that like you're in a wheelchair, but that your brain is broken and people with broken brains need to be represented in government. So I hope the people of Pennsylvania are happy with their selection and cheers to them.
Yeah, you get what you deserve. This is the good thing about these elections is you can kind of watch it from afar. I'm kind of happy to be in Florida right now. I can tell you that much with our leadership here. I'm pretty happy about it. But, you know, I want people to live the way they want. And if they want a brain damaged, I want to say R word, but I know it's not really the time or the place, you know, in 2022, you can't really use that word anymore. And I don't want to get kicked off YouTube, but quite literally he's R worded. And, you know, I mean that by the dictionary definition of what that word means. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing if we had all of our senators and congresspeople who were R-worded, I think the world would be a better place, frankly. But it's going to be funny watching him vote the wrong way and having Chuck Schumer run as fast as he can and wave in his arms, no, 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 on the Senate floor. Other way, other way. And then he's going to have to correct it. And that's going to be a thing, too, where he's going to mess it up and they're going to demand a recount or a revote, you know, and then where do they go from there?
I don't know if that happened, but I do agree with you when you said this, that people should get what they want. And I completely agree. And, you know, some people on our show were saying you should have a cognitive testing, this, that, and the other. And I go, listen, even if you have that or don't have that, if it's the will of the people to vote this guy in, then friggin' so be it. Like, if that's what the people of Pennsylvania want, they'd rather go blue than have a guy with a functioning brain, then so be it. Give the people what they want, because for me, above everything else, even above competency, is freedom. Like, if that's what you want, if that's the representation you want, then that's what you should get. Like, that's truly what I believe more than anything else. So,
or move, you know, I mean, I guess you could come back down to Florida. Anybody that's in Pennsylvania,
but that's
right now,
will. That kind of goes along that same line of freedom. Like, if you're not happy, leave. So,
yeah. Yeah. So this is a golden opportunity for people to move, I guess. Yeah. I saw people complaining about a friend of mine, of course. You know, last night was just one of those nights where I sent this tweet earlier, and I said it last night to Johnny, where it was, they happen to be women. I'm sorry. I know there's men out there who probably do this too, but I'm fortunate enough not to be friends with them. But some of my women friends, you know, on Instagram post things like, you need to vote this way because of this and blah, 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 blah. And it's just, what do I need to say? No, luckily no. It's just that old thing. What do I need to say to get you to do what I want? That type of stuff. You're killing people, blah, 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 blah. And then a post right after about their, self-diagnosed mental illness, not kidding. But, and I'm like, I guess I repeat myself here. I mean, you're talking about voting and then you self-diagnosed yourself with something, and it's so common. And I don't know how it's, you know, you're offline pretty much entirely, which I'm envious of, but there's so many people that just kind of identify with this fake, I don't know, like, they're not passionate about it, clearly. It's just lazy posts that take no effort to do anything.
Like black square posting?
Yeah. Yeah, just black low investment. I did my part. I told people to vote the way I want them to vote, so hopefully they do. Of course, it's useless and doesn't work, but you know, I just wish people would spend their time a little better, but also, you know, I get it. It's the most invigorating time to be alive while also the most boring at the same time. There's a lot of paradoxes going on out there. So it's just people that post constantly all day long about things that really don't matter, you know, and it's, very common, very common. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, like you said, it's low hanging fruit. It's an easy way to signal it, to in-group signal, virtue signal to your group, your side, to say, hey, I'm still with you. I'm calling it how I see it, because silence is violence, or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, it takes a lot to know so little, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like you and I the type of people that are constantly looking things up, trying to fact check, trying to learn the history of things and, you know, how this comes into play. And I don't know how you feel, but I'll speak for myself. At the end of the day, I feel like I know nothing. Like, every time I start digging into a new, you know, subsect of history or politics, I'm like, wow, there's so much I don't know. But the people who are the loudest are the ones that know the least. And so once you start to dig, you realize how nuanced everything is. And that's when you kind of take a step back and you're a little bit more quiet, because you can kind of see both sides, you understand nuance, there's all these different things. But the people that don't understand, and they don't care, except just is screaming, like, you know, her body, her choice, like, just things like that over and over again. I mean, I'm almost envious of those people, because their view of the world is so low resolution that everything, it makes perfect sense. Everything's in black and white. But for you and I, it's like, things are so confusing and everything's about trade-offs. There's no solutions. We really can't solve any problems. So it's interesting, but I think that people like you and I have a, you know, a higher IQ. So that's the trade-off there.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think so. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where you have more access to information than ever before, but also it's another paradox, because you can't decipher. There's too much information. You got to figure out what's happening here? And then you look at some other, you know, source, and then it says something completely different. So I don't know. Now I just kind of decide that I'll just go with my gut. And that's why when somebody asks for a source now, I just go, it's just, I just know, you know, I figured it out. That's really all I can tell you.
I understand that as well. And I think now more than ever, it's been so confusing because you're reading something. And then not only do you have to just say, oh, I looked it up online, but then you have to look up the source. Okay, is it CNN? Is it MSNBC? Is it Fox? Is it Politico? Like, and then you have to kind of do another analysis. Like, all right, well, is this just bias or are these facts? Like, I don't even know. So then you have to look up more things on this same one thing just to kind of get an idea of like, is this just like the consensus? Is this what the left thinks? Is this what Big Pharma wants you to think? So a lot of people aren't willing to put in that work. And to be honest with you, I don't blame them. But it's confusing because a lot of times you're looking at something and you go, okay, well, are these the right stats? Where's this science coming from? It's really unfortunate that we're in a point in history where even science is being politicized. Medicine is being politicized. You're just like, Jesus Christ, like, is climate change real? I don't know. Does this vaccine, you know, does this work? I don't know. Like, is Schmovid real? Like, I don't know. Like, is everything, it just seems like it's up in the air. The truth is up for grabs, as our friend Giannis Pappas has said. But, and then what's even more disheartening is things that people were accused of being like conspiracy theorists, like the Wuhan lab or origin story, right? I remember when Mike Pompeo said like, this is something we need to investigate. And he was just completely bashed for being conspiracy theorists. And obviously this came from the wet market and da, da, da. And then a year later, it was the dominant theory, or it was almost beyond a theory, almost a fact that yes, this is just common knowledge. Even like Fauci admitted to it that yeah, this came from gain of function research. It's like, how am I supposed to know anything at all when everything is misinformation because it's like disproven, you know, a year, a couple months later. So it's really disheartening and really frustrating to try to learn anything in this day and age. So
yeah, I told Johnny, like, I get it. I get people who just go, look, listen, I watch the news and they tell me, and this is what it is. I trust them. So you're saying the opposite. You're a crank. And because they're the news, why would they lie? And I totally get that point of view, but I don't know. Like, I just feel like, well, you're just lazy. You just don't want to do it. And they'd probably go, yeah, I am. And you go, okay, well, I can't argue with that then. And it's, you know, it's like, well, why are we bothering with this? I like to think that I would rather get some sort of truth and live, you know, not my truth, but find the truth. Mm-hmm. But what's the point? I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. And maybe that's the point of this whole culture, is to just demoralize you into learning to love Big Brother, right?
Yeah, it's just, to push you into submission to, and again, I've been hearing a lot about this, you know, I've been listening to a lot of red pill stuff lately when it comes to especially social issues, toxic masculinity, men, women, feminism. And I really don't know if this is like a byproduct of, you know, LGBT stuff, or if it's a concerted effort to kind of feminize men to make them submit so that they're more easy to control. You know, and that sounds insane, but it kind of makes sense, because if the young, strong men become, you know, paralyzed by the government and you take away their weapons and you take away their masculinity and you tell them to feminize themselves and be in touch with their emotions. I mean, I don't know how good that is for society in terms of, you know, population control. But I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you think that this toxic masculinity, trying to feminize men, you know, fluidity of genders, do you think that that's like an outgrowth of progressivism, or do you think that there's a more sinister intention behind that?
Hmm. You know, I don't know. I mean, my gut kind of says it's just a slippery slope that's kind of
the next step of progressivism. Yeah, like
it just keeps going. I mean, it went right from, you know, for example, like gay rights, then once gay marriage kind of became a thing, then it went right into kind of trans stuff. Right. And it just keeps going. It's
just the next frontier. Entropy.
Yeah. It's just entropy that kind of goes to, so now we're at the point where you can be a senator and be, you know, clinically brain damaged, where you don't know what the hell's going on. And then you're called ableist. Like, if Terry Schiavo wants to be a senator, you got to let her. And it's like, maybe some of you don't know who Terry Schiavo was, but it was a very famous case here in Florida where
he's in St. Pete, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. It was definitely in the Tampa Bay area. She was, I guess, there was some argument of whether she was brain dead or not. She had very low function. And then it was the right to life thing of pulling the plug. The husband wanted to pull the plug. The family wanted to keep her on this life support. And it was a whole to do. But anyway, she wasn't running for Senate at the time. But Now we're in such a clownish type of society where now you can be like, who are you to say that Corky from Life Goes On cannot be a senator? And you're like, okay, well, no. Like, I think at some point you got to kind of put your foot down and be like, no, this is insane. Like, I'm all for compassion and empathy and all that stuff. But it's like, it just keeps going to the point where you're like, I can't tolerate this anymore.
And did I ever tell you that Bubba sent her a pizza?
No.
In her hospital room when the case was going down, they were deciding if they were going to pull the plug or not.
Yeah.
He sent bunch of pizzas to the hospital, to her room.
That's kind. That's very kind of him to do that. I could just picture the husband just like not eating the crust, just like eating the pizza, throwing it back in the box and just being like, come on, hurry up. I have to get on with my life.
Air pie. What the hell?
Dude, speaking of this, I sent you this message and it's kind of a very personal thing that kind of happened. And it's kind of along the lines of Terry Schiavo. My freaking dad sent me a text message. My uncle's wife choked on a noodle and is like brain dead now. This just happened the other day. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. And it's like, first of all, it was a bizarre message to get in a text. Like,
such a boomer way to tell bad news.
Yes. Dude, I should send that to Tim Dillon.
You have time to talk. Like, can you call me? It was just like, yo.
The message, he was like, ain't that some S? Like, it was just like, yeah, that's insane. I feel so bad for my freaking uncle. He just met this woman a few years ago, and they've only been married for not that long, a few years, I guess. But yeah, choked on a dang noodle, and is just like gone now. So I don't know. Anyway, she should run for Senate. I think she should run for Senate now. And my uncle still did keep a sense of humor about it. He put his I voted sticker on her while she took a picture of her in the hospital bed, which was very frightening. And my father also sent me that picture too, as well. So I didn't need to see that. But hey, you know, that's the life we live. You could choke on a noodle and be dead. So rest now, in peace to her.
I don't want to bring up anything that maybe would make you uncomfortable on the show, but my conspiracy theory brain, the feelers are kind of going up.
Yeah.
Do you think that possibly I'm not saying that there's foul play on the part of your uncle, but do you think that this perhaps was an intentional?
Like he killed her?
No, that she tried to kill herself.
Oh, well.
How they do it in Germany. I don't know.
She did have some issues with mental health. I don't know. I just think like what a lame way to go choking on a noodle of all things. Like that doesn't seem like it's what kind of noodle? Are we talking a ravioli? Are we talking a piece of pasta? Are we talking a piece of spaghetti here? Yeah. There's a lot of variety in the pasta range.
And to be honest, I was talking to my boyfriend about this yesterday, and he was like, how did it not just dissolve? Like, it's a noodle.
Right.
You know, was it not cooked? Was it a dry, hard noodle? Was it intentional? Was she trying to just, you know, take I hate to say this, the cowardly way out and just like, you know, just start deep throwing some Kugel or something? You know, I don't know.
It seems like not an efficient way, but I mean, I guess it worked. I don't know I don't think that's the case. I think it was probably an accident. She was a little bit older too. You know, I think she was in her sixties, mid sixties. But wow, it was just a shocking thing, kind of unexpected. And, I guess most of these things are, but I just thought the noodle was the most unusual part of the whole deal. And I would just be mad if it were me and there was an afterlife. Well, and then you get
dead. So,
yeah, I know. But if there was, you know, if I choked on a noodle and that's how I went out, I'd be like, come on, man. I can't go out like that. That's the worst. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel so bad.
How
for
did
him.
He get taken out? Al dente. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure you cook your noodles and
rigatoni. Got him.
And chew all the way. We got Thanksgiving coming up. So make sure you chew your food. That's my worst nightmare is, you know, I do live alone and
I have that same fear too. Choking and not to save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I actually did. Have you ever choked where your windpipe has been fully, you know?
Oh, I definitely I think it was a piece of asparagus. Like that just wasn't fully, you know, didn't chew it too well. And I literally stuck my hand in my throat and like pulled it out.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now I wasn't completely blocked. Like I could breathe around it, but obviously very uncomfortable. You know, you just have like a big string of asparagus in there. And yeah, I think about that all the time. And I always like look outside and thankfully there's always people like walking their dog. So God forbid something happened, I could like run outside, make a scene and hopefully someone could assist me. But yeah, I mean, you kind of live in it's like more secluded in the sense that like you're not in a like an apartment complex like I am. Yeah. Or I could just doors like you can't. It'd be a little bit harder for you to do that just the way your neighborhood is configured. So,
yeah, you know, and honestly, that's a close call, Anna, but I don't consider that. You don't really know what it's like. I've actually been fully blocked, not been able to breathe in at all. When I was a young boy, I was housing some roast beef. I was like 10 or 11 years old, probably. And luckily I was, you know, I was obviously a boy. So I lived at home with my parents and we were eating dinner together. And it was like, it was a feeling like I've never felt before of just pure desperation. Yeah. And signaling that something wasn't right. And then everybody freaking out. And then my stepdad, bless his heart, just came up and just slammed me on the back as hard as he could. And boom, out came the roast beef. And that really, he saved my life. I mean, straight up, because I don't know if my mom or grandmother, who also lived with me, could have done that. So God bless him. He really did. He really did save me that day. But yeah, it was a terrible, you know, awful feeling. And I do think sometimes that it's going to happen to me again, because I do eat like a hurricane sometimes.
Me
just
too.
Blowing it in.
That's probably the worst trait I picked up from my father is that he just inhales his food because that's what his dad did. And that's how I eat. And if ever I'm like out in public, I do have to make a very conscious effort to slow down. Not so much because it's not safe, but just so that I'm more polite. Like it's better etiquette to eat slower, not just like, So, but I am a fast eater. So yeah, that is a problem for me as well. And I do think about that often.
It just better not be a noodle. It better be like a steak or something, you know. I just hope it's not
more manly
or some sort of vegetable or something. No, that's just can't. But that just noodle. Can't. Happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you going to go visit her? Are they going to pull the plug? Is she going to be Terry Schiavo? Like,
you know, I don't really have much information about it other than my dad's boomer text informing me of what happened. You know, I sent him a text message and I just said, you know, I'm so sorry to hear about this. And you know,
your uncle?
I sent my uncle. Yeah. The text message and just said, you know, I'm thinking about you. And he just said, thank you. You know, that was it. I'm sure he's got a lot on his plate. He doesn't have a great relationship with her family. And I'm sure it's just a mess for him. And I really do feel for him. It's a tough thing to go through as it is. And then when you're catching resistance from the family. Now, of course, there's a, you know, she took care of a will and her, you know, what she wanted to do, which I guess was to not resuscitate. So, you know, he's trying to enforce that, but obviously he's getting pushback from the family. So it's just it's a mess. And I really just feel for him. And yeah, it stinks. By the way, if you want to get in touch with the show, 813-693-2124. Sir Neil says, did he say noodle? Yes. I did. It's a noodle. That's very unfortunate. HMBradio.com/donate. If you're feeling in the Christmas spirit already, maybe you'd like to donate. That and half those proceeds will go to Anna, or HMBradio.com/store. You can get yourself a hoodie or a sweatshirt or something, then make sure you subscribe. HMB Radio, Homemade Broadcast Radio, HMB Radio, all one word, Spotify, iTunes. I do put up extra podcasts when Johnny and I are booted off the air because of the Tampa Bay Lightning playing a hockey game. So I hope you'll subscribe and join us and hit the bell, get notified when we go live, all that good stuff. Anna, I know that, well, we're already at 30 minutes, but I did want to go over this. I saw the New York Post put up a, let's get it up here, 20 things you should experience before turning 40. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought maybe we could go over this list together.
That'd be great.
Because I'm approaching 40. I'll be 38 years old on the 25th of this month.
And when is Thanksgiving? The 24th, right?
Yep. 24th, day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I wanted to go over this list because I am approaching this age. And I wanted to see how many of these things, the 40 things to do before turning 40 that we have accomplished. I know you're right behind me. You got a few more years to do these things, though, than I'm a little bit older than you. Number one is have a stable job. Nope. Uh-oh. Didn't have that. Own a car, coming in at number two. Yes, I do own a car. I own a 2012 Kia Forte. So that's pretty good. It was built.
Payments on it or?
No payments. It was my Grammy's car, and I bought it from her before she passed. So I do owe that. Go to the doctor more often to take care of your health. I do pretty good with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
And you have a doctor that you like work with, so you're able to get some free medical care.
All the time. I was asking, I'm like, hey, my knee's twitching. Hey, my MCL's messed up. Hey, I have this rash. So I'm constantly going to the doctor every day at work.
That's good. So, I mean, knowing people is, I mean, I don't have health insurance, so I'm sure you don't either.
No. So being a neurotic Jew and working with the doctor is pairs well. You know what I mean?
That's good.
So I can just have pretty much anything I need. Yep.
Travel with the person you love.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not enough, but definitely a little bit. Own a home, coming in at number five. Owning a home. I don't see that happening in my, like, that seems very unrealistic at this point in my life, especially with the house prices here in the Tampa Bay area. Start a family. Uh-oh. Also, pretty far from that. And being 40, listen,
you have a radio family.
I have a what?
A radio family.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's what they mean by this. Oh. I think they mean starting your own family. I'm concerned about this because I think you should, if you're going to do this, you should do it before 40, and I'm real close and I don't want to be old dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So that's concerning. I don't really know what that. My mother's just stopped asking me. She used to ask me when is she going to have grandchildren? And one day I was like, Mom, it's not looking good. And she just went, okay. And she never asked me again. And to her credit. Yeah. Learn to cook and bake well. I think I do this pretty good. And I know that you are venturing into the realm of baking as well.
Yeah. Yes, I'm a baker.
Volunteer at a soup kitchen, hospital, or senior citizens home. I've done that a few times. I volunteered at a soup kitchen once. Now, does once count? Because that's all I'm doing.
Yep, that works. I, as you know, I used to volunteer at the Humane Society.
Yes, I am aware of that. And midnight was
Let's
the,
move on.
Yes.
Donate to charity.
Donate to charity, coming in at number nine.
I've probably done that once.
Do you remember what charity?
Yes, I do, actually. I bought new running shoes about 3-4 weeks ago, and they asked me if I wanted to round up to the dollar, the next dollar, to support the Hurricane Ian victims. And I said, yeah, go ahead, take that 12 cents.
Okay, well, that's good. That's something that counts. Yeah. I do it every year. I you know, it's not much, but it's like $20 or something. That's a charity that I trust. Certainly not for tax purposes or anything. I know that you can write it off your taxes, but not $20. That wouldn't do it, or 12 cents either. So don't get excited, Anna. Number 10, start a hobby. My job is my hobby right now. It's pathetic and it hurts my feelings, but podcasting and radio, I would say, are my hobbies. Do you have any hobbies?
I did before I busted my knee, but jujitsu.
Okay. So you're good. You're in the clear with that. That counts. Conquer a fear. What are you afraid of? What's your biggest fear? That's a good question to ask.
Jiu-jitsu, so conquered that.
That's your biggest fear?
No, it's not my biggest fear. But yeah, I do things I'm scared of all the time. Jiu-jitsu is a big one, like getting hurt, hosting the show for Bubba, you know, when he's out and he needs me to host. And that gives me a lot of anxiety. I don't mind hosting my own show, but hosting someone else's show brings me anxiety. So yeah, there's stuff I do all the time that scares me.
Sir Neil says that volunteering once doesn't count. I disagree. It counts, Neil. We're going with it. Conquering a fear. My biggest fear is fighting Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. I've had a recurring dream since I was a little kid about that, where he's trying to kill my family. If Sub-Zero wants to fight, I'm down and I will conquer him. Number 12, own a business. I tried to start businesses. It didn't really pan out too well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this counts. It's close enough. I do podcast consulting. If any businesses want to do a podcast or any people want to do a podcast, I could set you up and help you out. Visit homemadepodcast.com. I haven't updated that website in 3 years probably, but it's still there and operational. Mm-hmm. If you would like to do that, inquire within. See the New Year's Eve ball drop in Times Square. No, I will never do this. I don't want to do it.
Sorry, I don't want to wear a diaper for 8 hours. Get
out. That would be hell on earth. I can't even go to like Busch Gardens or anything because of the crowds. It's too crowded. I can't do it. So nope. No chance on this. Yeah, I got to pee every half an hour now. I'm my dad now. So no chance. Go through a breakup. Yeah, I mean, everybody's done that, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
That's rough.
Hopefully, like, you know, hopefully you've had some experiences by now, you know.
This is weird. Go on a solo date? Are people just going on group dates now?
No. They mean take yourself out and like take yourself to dinner and just sit there by yourself.
I mean, I've done that and it's miserable. People, walk into a place and then they go, oh, and you have to go, just me. And they go, just you. Okay. And then you got to sit down and eat sushi and look at the bench across from you while everybody else is on a date. Now with DoorDash, I mean, just do that and you can watch TV and stuff and eat.
I think it's an exercise of like being okay, being alone, especially in public and not needing, like just enjoying your own company. I see a lot of self-help people that have said that. I know a lot of women, when I was on Instagram, they would post like taking myself out and they'd have wine and a nice meal and go to a nice restaurant and they'd just be by themselves. I much like you, I'd think that that'd be miserable. Now I take myself to like Chipotle dates and stuff, but that's, it seems a bit more like appropriate.
I think that counts. I think that counts. I think you're in the clear with that one.
Okay, cool.
Learn a new language, at least one new language. No, that's not going to happen either. That you have to have a very specific mind for. Your brain has to be a certain, either left brain or right brain. I don't know which, but I took Spanish in high school and almost failed college because of my inability to learn Espanol. And I think that it's just impossible for some people.
I'm learning Carney from Bubba the Love Sponge, so I'm pretty fluent in Carney right now.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. Ride a roller coaster. Are you a thrill seeker? No.
Nope.
Okay, I used to enjoy that. I think at this age, fun. No thanks. Amusement parks. Nah. I mean, I would do it, but I would rather not. I went for my birthday last year, actually, and it was fine. But I think I'd rather just go to a nice dinner at this point, even if it is by myself. So, yeah, I've ridden a roller coaster. Good there. Watch movies like This Is 40 for laughs. I don't know what This Is 40 is. Is it any good?
I have no idea. I know 40-Year-Old Virgin, but I don't know This Is 40.
This Is 40 is a 2012 romantic comedy film written and directed by Judd Apatow and starring Paul Rudd and Leslie Mann. Okay, it's one of those movies. Okay, I like Judd Apatow's movies. I like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, stuff like that. So maybe I'd give that a try. I'll think about it. Write a letter to yourself at 19. You seem like a person that definitely wrote letters to themselves at a certain point.
I'd like journal before, yeah. But I don't think it was like a Dear Anna. It wasn't like one of those. So I don't know if that counts.
Okay. So. Well, you get a half point there.
All right.
For that one. And finally, rounding out number 20, have a romantic dinner at the Eiffel Tower. Very specific there.
By yourself.
You could double up, yeah, and do that. I would like to do that. Have a nice romantic dinner by myself at the Eiffel Tower.
That's sad.
14% of people said you should do that before the age of 40. I have a feeling that probably will not get done because I'm terrified of the world. And I'm okay here in the good old USA. I don't want to be stabbed by somebody. If I'm gonna be stabbed, I'd rather it be an American. Let's just put it that way. And there's a good chance of that as things progress here. There's a good chance you could be stabbed just walking across the street. So I would rather them just be a countryman if they stab me. I can't think of many places that I would like to go at this point, to tell you the truth. I'm too afraid to travel anywhere, I think. My lady wants to go to Italy next year.
That's where I'm planning on going, yeah.
And I would love to do that. Now it's all coming full circle because now we're talking about pasta and noodles again. Right. So maybe that would be it for me. That would be the time that I would go. And it would kill me twice because it would affect my lack of affinity for travel and going into a foreign land and then choking on a piece of pasta. It would just be too perfect. So
yeah. You can't go at all. Yeah, there's no way.
I might have to tell her I can't go. Yeah, just because of that. So, yeah, I've done, let's see, what's the grand total here? Stable job, no. Own a car, yes. One. Go to the doctor, two. Travel, okay, I'll give me that one. Three, own a home, no. Start a family, no. Learn to cook, I can cook. So I'll give myself, now we're at a grand total of four for that one. Volunteer at a soup kitchen, Sir Neil says no. I say yes. Where are we at? Six? Five? Five. Donate to charity. Yes, I've done that once again. I think that counts. Six, start a hobby. It's my job. Seven, conquer a fear. I'm going to go with no on that.
Okay.
One. Own a business. Kinda. So I'll give myself that one. Eight, New Year's Eve ball drop. No, not going to happen. Go through a breakup. Yes. Nine, go on a solo date. Yes. 10. Learn at least one new language, no chance. Ride a roller coaster, yes. 11. Is that, I lost count. Is that 11? I think it's 11.
Yeah, that's 11.
Okay. Watch movies like This Is 40 for laughs. Not yet, but I might. Write a letter to yourself, no. And have a romantic dinner. So I'm only at about 55% for this list, which is not good. That's failing. I'm failing according to this list. Now, what is the methodology here? It says this is a double opt-in survey of 2,000 Americans, evenly split by generation, and was commissioned by the VSP Vision Care. Okay, it was conducted by a market research team, one poll. Okay, so it's not even these are insane. What would you say the top five things you should do before 40?
There shouldn't be a list. It doesn't matter. I mean,
what do you think? Like, is there anything that you would like to do before turning 40?
Yeah, I'd like to do more traveling. There's really nothing like set in stone. I'm not really a got to do this by this age because that really only leads to disappointment. I don't think it's smart to live your life that way. I've kind of scaled back that sort of thinking a long time ago, because when you start doing stuff like that, then you get really depressed because you start thinking about all the things you don't have instead of focusing on the things you do have. So.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing that's putting the pressure on me right now is my career or lack thereof of one. And it's been hurtful because I've gotten so many like cosigns from very influential people lately and people who know what the hell they're talking about. And I'm still part-time doing doing a hobby for a job, and I can't find anybody to give me a real job. So that's frustrating and hurtful. And I do feel the time ticking on that, because eventually at what point do you go, okay, this was fun, but I have to support myself. I mean, support myself now, but boy, just barely. Right.
It's a struggle. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. So that's the only one that kind of keeps me up at night, and it doesn't even really do that, but definitely something I think about quite a bit. So that's really the only thing on my mind right now. And it's kind of hard because I feel like I can't progress and work on anything else until that occurs. And who knows if that's gonna occur? It might not.
There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. So
what a bummer. Well, thanks a lot, List. You really bummed me out. Are you scared about this hurricane?
No.
You're not. I did move all my outside furniture kind of off to the side a little bit, but other than that, I'm not too worried about it. I hope I don't lose power again. That was pretty terrible. I did lose power during Ian for about 7 days, 5 days. So I'm hoping that that doesn't happen. But other than that, not too concerned about it either. It seems like most of the wind is going to be up north, and it's kind of just like a tropical storm. You know, I think it's going to make landfall as a category one. But you never know. You never know what could happen. So I know it's already started to rain out there, and I think the storm is about less than 300 miles away from us here in the Tampa Bay area. I think we'll be here tomorrow night. So I wish everybody luck during the storm.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck, everybody.
Safe. We'll see you on the other side.
Indeed. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I do appreciate it. Thank you, Anna Hummel. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man. Follow HMB Radio on Facebook, Homemade Broadcast Radio, HMB Radio, all one word. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show was up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Tell a friend about it. Share it. Give it 5 stars wherever you're listening. Leave a comment. Say, this is great. I would appreciate it. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Kuntz. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.